The mooring hawsers were lifted off the bollards by the dock crew and reeled aboard the Golden Marlin seconds before the starboard thrusters were activated and the boat began slipping from the dock. Over 1,000 people had come to the dock to watch the maiden voyage of the first underwater cruise boat. There was a reviewing stand where the governor of Florida and other officials and celebrities made speeches. Pitt saw no sign of the divers. His calls to Captain Baldwin on the bridge were not answered. He felt extremely restive, but there was no way he could stop the ship from sailing. While the boat was still in the channel, heading toward the open blue-green sea, Giordino worked with the team of inspectors, searching for explosives or signs of damaged equipment, while Pitt and Kelly cooperated with the purser in matching up the passengers with their names and staterooms in an effort to find someone who resembled Omo Kanai. The search went slowly. By lunchtime, they were less than halfway through the passenger list without getting to the crew members.
"I'm beginning to doubt he's on board," said Kelly wearily.
"Either that or he's stowed away," Pitt said, as he studied the pictures of the passengers that had been taken by the ship's photographer when they'd come on board. He held up a photo to the light and studied the features of the image. Then he passed it to Kelly. "Look familiar?" She looked at the photo for several seconds.
"There's a definite resemblance. The only problem is that this Mr. Jonathan Ford is white."
Pitt shrugged. "I know. Back to the drawing board." At 4 o'clock, chimes sounded over the speakers throughout the boat, playing the song, "By the Sea, by the Beautiful Sea." It was the signal that the boat was about to submerge. The passengers all hurried to find chairs in front of the viewing ports. Slowly, the boat began to slip beneath the surface. The sea rose in a maelstrom of bubbles that quickly faded away as the bright sun and sky transformed into a deep, blue, liquid void. Soon fish began to appear, taking little interest in the huge vessel as it trespassed into their kingdom. They faded above the sub as it sank into deeper water. Pitt and Kelly did not take the time to enjoy the underwater scenery. They were still holed up in the purser's office. When he was notified that the captain wished to see him, Pitt left Kelly and walked to the bridge. He'd no sooner stepped through the door when Baldwin thrust a message at him.
"What do you make of this?" he demanded.
Pitt read the message aloud. "Please be advised that the bodies of the divers engaged to inspect the bottom of your ship have been found tied to the dock pilings beneath the surface of the channel. Initial investigation shows they were murdered by person or persons unknown who stabbed them from the back. Await your reply. It was signed Detective Lieutenant Del Carter, Fort Lauderdale Police Department."
"What's our depth?" Pitt demanded sharply. "Depth?" echoed a startled Baldwin. "We've passed the continental shelf and are in deep water."
"Turn around immediately," Pitt ordered curtly. "Get into shallow water before it's too late."
Baldwin's face hardened.
"What are you talking about?"
"The divers were murdered because they found explosives attached to the hull of this boat. I'm not asking you, Captain, for the sake of the lives of everybody on board this boat, turn back and get into shallow water before it's too late."
"And if I don't?"
Baldwin challenged him. Pitt's green eyes turned cold as the Arctic Sea. "Then in the name of humanity, I swear I will kill you and take command of the ship." Kelly was alone in the purser's office, sifting through the crew's personnel records when she became aware of a presence. She looked up and saw a man she immediately recognized as the passenger she and Pitt had discussed earlier. A feeling of horror began creeping over her.
"Your name is Jonathan Ford."
"You know me?"
"No, not really,"
she stammered.
"You should. We met briefly on the Emerald Dolphin."
Kelly was confused. There was a close resemblance to the black ship's officer who had tried to kill her and her father, but the man standing in front of her was white.
"You can't be."
"Ah, but I am." He took a handkerchief from his pocket, dabbed a corner on his tongue, and rubbed it against the top of his left hand. The white makeup came off,
revealing coffee-brown skin underneath. Kelly stumbled from her chair and tried to run out the door, but the man grabbed her by the arms and pressed her against the wall. "My name is Omo Kanai. My orders are to take you with me."
"Take me where?"
she rasped in terror. "Why, home, of course." He pressed a cloth damp with a strange-smelling liquid against her face. Then a black pit opened beneath her feet, and she fell into it.